Greetings, you're listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 minutes of the End Time Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, P.O. Box 35-1944, Westminster, Colorado, 80035, phone is 303-452-1104. Your host is Rita Williams. People always ask, what does the word Cephas mean and how do you spell it? Read John 1 verse 42 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. The Bible states, Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S. C like in Charles, E like in Erna, P like in Paul, H as in Hans, A as in Alpha, and S as in Sam. The reason I bring up the preliminaries again is not to bore you, but to let newcomers know what this program is about. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept. If listeners have not seen the movie Matrix, Webster's Dictionary states the following. Matrix is something like a mold or a womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the growing child but has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program will be about exposing the matrix, the something that is inside the matrix. The listeners to this program who may or may not be caught up in the matrix. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know to see if you are the something that is inside the matrix. The programs will be downloadable at cephas-radio.com. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and seemingly like a messiah attracts people of faith, interfaith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself like no other pope has before. Why is that? Who is Pope Francis? I'll get to that later. To help you understand why we are where we are today, I have to go back in history to show the undercurrent that may pull people suddenly into the abyss. Even though Francis tells people that he doesn't have much time left before he will die, he travels from one country to another. To his own amazement, he is greeted by thousands expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping he will be an acting savior, even though his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, intolerance, and climate change. Most believers are pro-Israel. Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians who are Muslims. What I have noticed recently, Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do listeners know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam? In spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth in an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version, the prophet describes what God told him, summarized. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men, God promises that he will be the glory in Jerusalem again. The Lord told Zion to come home because he wants them to know him and rejoice because he plans to live in the midst of them. The verses end with, "And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up of his holy habitation." Today I'm going to continue with the chilling significance of Pope John Paul's October 22, 1996 address. And this is about the One World Church by Wilson Uwin. To continue from last week about the One World Church by Wilson Uwin, why the controversy? A storm is whirling about the topic of how mankind began. Did God create literally according to Genesis, the first book in the Bible, and as later confirmed by Christ in the New Testament? Strongly opposed to this is the theory of evolution. It claims that man, animals, plant life, creatures of the sea, and all to be seen throughout the universe was not the work of God. Originally propounded by Lamarck in 1809, the theory was spelled out in 1859 by Darwin's book, The Origin of the Species. Evolution became the pillar of atheism. There is no God. Both are primary features of international socialism or communism, the gospel of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. Their followers held rightly the evolution and atheism during the past and present centuries. Especially so today, the former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, Cuba Fidel Castro, and countless other proponents of today's emerging New World Order are atheists and hold to evolution. 50 years ago saw Pope Pius XII engaged in mortal combat with communism and its evolution and atheism. On July 28, 1949, the Holy Office of the Church listed groups of Catholics who would be excommunicated. Among them would be members of the Communist Party, anyone making propaganda for its candidates, those who wrote for the communist press, and especially whosoever confesses the materialistic and anti-Christian teaching of atheist communism. Then came August 12, 1950, in the Pope's encyclical Humani Generis. It was written to warn to the encroaching theory of evolution and its presentation of the Bible Genesis account of man's biological beginning to be on par with myth or other such things, which are the product of an extravagant imagination. The weird haste for reconciliation. But suddenly, on October 23, 1996, Pope John Paul launched an attempt to reconcile his church with the evolution of atheism. As expressed by the Catholic publication The Remnant, the attempt seems to concern Pope John Paul even more than the worldwide loss of faith and the utter destruction of the Catholic Church. The strange conduct of the Pope becomes even more pronounced with his false claim of new knowledge. This time, the Catholic Remnant of October 31, 1996 actually points to the rod of accusation at John Paul. It states, "What new knowledge is he speaking of? Since the time of Pius XII, the theory of evolution has been discredited more times than it has been supported by legitimate scientists. There's no new knowledge, let alone any real proof, to suggest that man did in fact evolve from a monkey. This statement of John Paul's is, we are saddened and distressed to say, nothing short of a dangerous misinterpretation and extrapolation of the sentiments expressed in Humani Generis. It is also a bow to Teilhardian theology, and it represents a very serious setback for the creationists, who, by the way, have amassed more proof in support of creationism than ever has been gathered in support of the theory of evolution. As the Pope John Paul's reference to new scientific knowledge, we hasten to add that there is no real scientific knowledge or proof involved with the theory of evolution. It is a collection of imaginative rantings initially supported by atheists who refuse to accept that God had created the universe and everything in it. The premonition of approaching doom. Obviously, something of immense proportion and degree of significance has been observed approaching, and a decision has been made to take evasive action. The ocean liner Titanic likewise faced an awful threat on the night of April 14, 1912, and watchmen in the crow's nest were obliged to make a rapid decision. The huge mass looming in the mist and darkness became quickly visible. It was a gigantic iceberg directly in the path of the rapidly approaching passenger ship. Immediately, evasive action was taken, but in vain. In sharp contrast to the story of the Titanic with the sudden realization of an imminent collision, the Vatican has been aware of the threat from evolution and atheism for over a century. Both religious and political machinery had been put in motion by the Church to provide the most accurate information. These have been described by two highly qualified authors. One is Baron Avro Manhattan, born in Italy of Italo-Swiss-Brazilian-American extraction. He supervised Radio Freedom during World War II and served as a political commentator for the British Broadcasting Corporation. Among many of his books about the Church of Rome, Manhattan's The Vatican and World Politics is outstanding. First written in 1949, the 440-page documentary passed through 47 editions and was published in multiple languages. In the USA, the volume was twice named Book of the Month and twice chosen Best Nonfiction Book of the Year. The opening pages state the following. The Catholic Church, seemingly preoccupied only with its religion's tasks, is feverishly engaged in a race for the spiritual conquest of the world. Page 9. There is no continent where the Pope cannot influence to a greater or less degree the social and political life of the community. The mastermind directing the moves of these various Catholic organizations and parties in the field of regional, national, international, social, and political struggle naturally resides in the center of Catholicism, mainly the Vatican. That's on pages 18 and 19. The reading of this booklet will be continued next week, and this transcript will be published on the website www.cephas-radio.com. You can subscribe to our monthly newsletter that's free at go-cephas.com. Thanks for listening. God be with you. Shalom. Rita Williams at CephasMinistry.com.